You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And good morning to you, Adam, on this Friday morning.
Good morning, Bongani. Happy Friday.
Yes, indeed. Developments, of course, around the Florida massacre. Donald Trump is putting it all to mental health issues rather than guns as the real problem here.
Yes, he spoke at some length, didn't he? But in terms of solutions, he didn't really offer solutions. I don't suppose you'd expect the leader of your country to come up with something just like that after yet another shooting. What were they saying? 18 shootings in schools in America this year. Not all of them fatal necessarily, but still. And you're right, he mentioned the mental health issues and didn't mention gun control. And of course, mental health issues are a big problem, and dealing with them in all our countries is a really important thing. In the UK, we talk about the lack of social care these days, that perhaps the net has been removed for some people who are suffering, and that often it's the police who have to pick these things up. So we don't have perfect systems, but I guess the point is if somebody has, quote, an unbalanced attitude towards life, and by all accounts, Nicholas Cruz had that, he'd been reported to school authorities. He had some really ugly profiles on social media, pictured with guns on YouTube. FBI had investigated him at some point. If you've got somebody like that, surely you don't want them to be able to get their hands on a semi-automatic assault rifle. But still, America keeps sidestepping that issue. And I say America, I mean, it seems to be the majority of America. At any rate, there are plenty of people who still talk about this. Indeed, there was a Connecticut senator immediately after the attack who was saying that he despairs at the fact that the Senate is not able to do anything. And so the rest of the world watches America and thinks, why aren't you doing something? At the same time that there's an awful lot of people in this little place of parkland in Florida who are clearly upset and who are going to struggle to come to terms with this for quite some time.
Who can forget, of course, Barack Obama's tears after the last mass shooting of his presidency? I mean, it's a very, very simple thing to deal with this. I remember Tony Blair appeals about gun laws in the UK after the Dunblane massacre. Why the US is refusing to learn from those experiences beats me. Now, a virus. Britain's being accused, or at least accusing Moscow, rather, of a mega cyber attack.
Yes, this was a cyber attack that affected a fair degree of the world. It started in Ukraine and then sort of spread across Europe and into other global organizations. And the UK government is absolutely, I mean, this is some classic Cold War finger pointing, although I didn't think we were in a Cold War, but there we go. And the UK government is saying it's the Russian military, or specifically Russian military intelligence, that was directly behind this NotPetya ransomware attack, the virus that essentially holds your computer hostage until you pay the right money or until you sort the problem out. It cost businesses over $1 billion to put it all right. The British Defence Secretary, Gavin Williamson, says they have evidence that it was Russia, and that, as he, quote, puts it, Russia is ripping up the rule book, and then he said that the UK is duty-bound to respond. He didn't elaborate on the response, but there's a certain point there when I got a bit of a chill, thinking, I'm not sure if we want to do that, do we? Surely a rap across the knuckles and don't do it again, Moscow, would suffice at this stage.
Yeah, be careful how far you want to push those guys. Now, a German pizza victim, a lawyer, what, bombarded with 100 unwanted pizza deliveries?
Yes, I suppose you could argue it's a bit churlish, isn't it, to complain about free pizzas, but that's certainly what Guido Groner is doing in the city of Dortmund. But then he's got heartily sick of them. In just a fortnight, he has received 100 unwanted pizzas all arriving at his office, which is going some. I mean, in one stage, he received 15 in the space of a couple of hours, and they keep on coming. Of course, he's not paying for them, and in fact, nobody's paying for them. Perhaps that's one of the loopholes in the delivery system. There are an awful lot of disgruntled pizza companies. But I think it's fair to say that Herr Groller is decidedly cheesed off about all of this, wondering who it is. Could it really be just a bit of a computer glitch or a computer virus, or is there somebody behind this? And if there is somebody behind this, under German law, this would count as stalking, which is a rather odd thought, being sent free pizza through the... Anyway, the pizzas have sort of dried up now, but the thin end of the wedge is that now he's being sent curried sausage and sushi. Topping it all, just somebody's got a sense of humour, or have they?
Oh, indeed. Well, that's one way to get a stalker. Death by pizza. Adam Gilchrist on the line there from the UK. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you want to know more about. And today's question comes from Colin, who wants to know, why is the American English spelling different to that of UK English? Now, to get to the answer, we spoke to English professor at Wits University, Professor Chris Thurman.
A useful way of thinking about variations in spelling is to think about variations in accent and pronunciation and vocabulary. So the early English settlers who went to the American colonies in the 1500s and 1600s came from very particular speech communities that would subsequently change or shift or even disappear in England. And meanwhile in America, interaction with Native American peoples and subsequent waves of immigrants from other countries would affect American English. And so, in fact, there's a lot of diversity both in accent and in vocabulary in American English and British English. And the response to that by various linguists in England and America was to try and standardize and formalize. So in the 18th century, you had Samuel Johnson in England, who developed a very specific set of spellings for his dictionary. And then you had Noah Webster in America in the 19th century, who developed a very specific set of spellings for his American dictionary. And so it's a slightly artificial imposition, which indicates a desire to try and normalize or standardize language, when in fact there's a lot more diversity in those dialects than we might like to think.
Professor Chris Thurman there from Wits, and don't get us started about South African English. Congratulations to Colin for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won yourself R1,000, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
If you have a burning question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
So, what's it like traveling with him?
Sue, he is such a drama queen. First the hotel wasn't to his liking, then the opera seats were too far back. But he's very sweet. Oh, and he treats me like a princess.
Wait, can't he hear you?
Oh, darling, I'm calling from my private suite. He can't hear a thing.
Experience ultimate privacy in your private suite when you fly Emirates First Class. To book or find out more, visit emirates.com/ZA. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.